So today we're doing the third part of our series, Faith in Action. And I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 18. Listen to me, chapter 18, starting at verse 16 to verse 33. So quite a bit of reading. So grab your Bible and read with me. I'm reading from the NIV. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grievous that I will go down and see if what they've done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I'm nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" And he answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" And he said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." And then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. It's an interesting story, this story of Abraham and the Lord and the conversation. This morning, as we speak about faith in action, it's going to be against the background that says, when our faith is put into action, it also sets us free to do certain things. And I'm going to show you three of those things. But before we get there, let me just give you a little background and connect it to where we are right now. So Abraham and Sarah were sitting there at their tents under the trees of Mamre. And then these three strangers came. And Abraham and Sarah immediately took them in and fed them. And then we learned that one of these strangers was the Lord. And this is where we pick up this story in verse 16, when the Lord gets into this conversation with Abraham. Now let me just preface this for 1 second. When we speak of Abraham, we're always say, "But he was a man of faith," and we know him as a man of faith. Abraham struggled a little bit with his faith, and this is going to be a moment in which God is going to teach Abraham how to set that faith free. Because Abraham has been through the test moments of the Old Testament quite a few times, and then he's failed a few times. Let me take you back to chapter 12 of Genesis, when God calls Abraham. And God says to Abraham, "Abraham, I am going to bless you. And because of you, I'm going to make you a blessing to all the peoples of the earth, and they will be blessed through you." That's what we just read here in Genesis 18 as well. "Through you, the peoples of the earth will be blessed." But somehow Abraham struggled a little bit with this, and he got it wrong. Just the next chapter, chapter 13, messes up immediately. He and Sarah go to Egypt. He says to her, you're a beautiful woman, and they might want to kill me because of you. And we have this promise, and what happens? The promise was made to me. So let's say you're my sister, and let's see if we can get away with that. And you see, remember what we said last week? Faith is not about me. Faith in action is not about me, but in this moment, it's all about Abraham. So, of course, he gets there. Pharaoh sees Sarah, and he wants to take her as his wife. But God does not want this. And so all kinds of stuff happened to the Egyptians. And that's when Pharaoh calls Abraham in, and he says, Abraham, what's going on? And Abraham has to say, this is my wife. This is not my sister. And the Pharaoh says, you should have told me that. Send them away. The next mess is in chapter 15 when God makes a promise about the child, and then Abraham says, yeah, it's okay. I'll just adopt Eliezer, my servant. God says, that's not what I said, Abraham. Faith in me a little bit. Chapter 16, the big mess. When Abraham and Sarah decide they've waited a long time now, and they've waited enough on God. And she says to Abraham, you just take my servant Hagar and have a child with her, and we'll adopt that child as ours. And of course, little Ishmael is born. And you know of all the hurt and the pain that this caused, even the broken relationship between Sarah and Hagar and Abraham and Ishmael. Just this huge, huge, painful thing. And then chapter 18, a little bit of a change when they feed these strangers and take care of them. But here's the test moment for Abraham concerning his faith. Whether his faith will be a faith that comes into action and will set him free. So God and the other two get up, and they're on their way to Sodom. Abraham gets up and walks with them as a good host would do in those days. As they walk, God goes into this conversation with himself. I wonder if I should tell Abraham what I'm going to do in Sodom. I wonder if I can trust him, because he needs to be a blessing to all the peoples, but I don't know if he's there yet. And then God decides, let's put the test out there. Let me tell Abraham what I'm going to do. And then God says, Abraham, we're on our way to Sodom because I heard that these are wicked people, and they're unrighteous people, and they do the most horrible things. And in that moment that God says that, they get to the point where it's time to leave Abraham, and two of them continue on. And then Abraham speaks to the Lord. And here's the moment where we see faith in action that sets us free for the first thing, to care about other people and not just about me, myself, and I. Let's just look at this for a moment. In this moment, as Abraham stands before God, his life is not all that easy. They've been struggling with this promise for so long. Now they heard God said, next year, this time, there's going to be a baby. But they've heard that for a long time already. I'm sure that wasn't just Sarah laughing. Abraham must have kind of worried a little bit about that. But here's the most beautiful thing. Abraham does not talk to God and say, God, just leave Sodom and Gomorrah for a second. We don't care much about them. Just talk to me a little bit more about this child and about this promise, and is it really going to happen? No. In this moment, Abraham says, despite all the things that are happening in my life, despite all the difficulties, despite all the struggles, Lord, I am worried about the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and what's going to happen to them, and I want to talk to you about that. See, that's what happens when my faith becomes faith in action. It sets me free to care for others. Let me give you an example, because you're saying, Robbie, make this practical. Let me make it practical. In this church, this faith community, I'm so blessed that I have a team of people that help me with hospital visits. And let's talk pre-COVID for a second, because that's when they could function at their best. This team visits the hospital every week of their lives. They go in, they check the list, they see who's there from Central, and they go and they visit with them, they take care of their needs. If they need me, they call me and they say, come on in, they need to see you. Week after week, winter, summer, spring, fall, they're there, always. But if you look at the team, it's not people who have everything just easy and hunky-dory and everything is perfect. Some of them struggle with their own health. Some of them don't even have their own transport to get to the hospital. They have to take a taxi or they have to get on a bus to get there. And yet, they don't say, but it's me and it's all about me. They say, no, no, no. My faith in action means that I can care for others and I can go and bless them. See, that's what happens when we've walked this path with the Lord and we've seen that. God changes my heart. And this heart that used to just beat for me becomes a heart that beats for others. And that takes us to the second thing that happens when faith sets us free. It also sets us free to have compassion with other people. Abraham could easily have said, Lord, this is a good thing you're doing. You go give them a hard time. These are the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. They're wicked. They're unrighteous. Look what they did to my cousin Lot and his family. They really nearly hurt them. They got them in the worst situations. I am done with these people. Just go judge them. Faith, that is a faith that comes into action, is a faith that learns not to judge. And how sad it is that often we see people creating the us and them, and we see a lot of that happening in the world right now. There's us and there's them, and we don't care about them. We just care about the us. When our faith comes into action, it changes us, and we start having compassion for other people, especially those that are struggling, especially those in need, especially those who are on the outside, especially those that I don't even know, that maybe don't even believe like me. There is a compassion in my heart, like the compassion of my Lord, because where did you find the Lord Jesus? Wasn't it with those who were on the outside looking in? Because you see, here's the thing. If we don't have compassion in our hearts for the lost, the broken, and the struggling, and those who struggle to believe, we have no idea what's going on in the heart of God. Because God's heart is a heart that is filled with compassion. And when that heart comes into mine, it changes it. Sets me free so that my faith becomes a faith that says, I love you, even though I don't know you. I love you, even though you don't believe in what I believe. I love you because Jesus loves you. That takes us to the third thing. Our faith in action also sets us free to then really see God for who God really is. For here's Abraham. And Abraham stands with God. And Abraham starts arguing with God. Voltaire said, that's why I don't believe in the Bible, and that's why I don't believe in God, because how can I believe in a God that allows a human being to argue with him? I can't believe in a God that's human. And I'm saying, Voltaire, that's actually why I believe, because my God is such an amazing God that he can even listen to me as a human being. And I can see God for who God really is, what he loves, what he cares, what he gives freely without boundaries. And that's how Abraham knows God. And because of that, Abraham can plead with God and say, God, I know how it works. And let me explain a little something of how it worked in the culture in those days. Some of the judicial rules. One of the rules was that of collective guilt. Now, remember again, we're talking about times way before the times in which we live. So we can't equate them. And we can't say we're right and they were wrong. This is how it worked in those days. There was this thing called collective guilt because the individual wasn't as important as the whole community. community was their thing. So what happened is, if someone in the community made a mistake or did wrong, the whole community would collectively be in debt for that. I'll give you one of the best examples. Joshua, chapter 7. They've just, with Joshua, conquered Jericho. God said, don't take any of the stuff in there. Achan decides to take a robe and some silver and some gold and bury that. Then they go to fight against Ai, which is a small place, and they should just overrun it. They don't. They get a hiding. And Joshua says, Lord, what's going on? And God says, people have done what they shouldn't have done, but it was only Achan who did this. But the whole community collectively was guilty of that. They draw the lots, and it comes out that it's Achan. And he says, yeah, I took the stuff. So they had to take him to the Valley of Achor. And there they stoned him. And they stoned his family. And they stoned all his animals and all of his possessions. All of that was destroyed there on the Valley of Achor, which means the Valley of Trouble. Collective guilt. Abraham says, Lord, can we take this collective guilt and can we turn this upside down? What about collective justice, righteousness, forgiveness? Will you not forgive? We can find a few people. And here's this beautiful moment. And here's where the translation is wrong. Verse 22, it says, Abraham stood before God. Actually, if you go look back, and I can give you all the theological reasons. They changed this. The scribes, they called it the Tikkun Soferim, where the scribes changed it. One of 18 texts that was changed in the Old Testament. Because they didn't like that God would stand before Abraham. They wanted Abraham to stand before God. It actually says, and God stood before Abraham. So just look at this. The other two leave, and God stays. As if God is saying, Abraham, do you want to talk to me? Abraham, is there something you want to ask? Abraham, is there something that you need to say to me? Because that's what faith does. It lets us see God for who God is. And Abraham says, can we turn it around? What about 50? Sure. What if you find 45? Sure. What if you find 40? Sure. What if you find 30? Sure. What if you find 20? Sure. What if you only find 10? Even just 4 or 10. Because that's who God is. God wants to forgive. God wants to save. God is not out for judgment. Why Abraham stopped with 10? We don't know. We can think. They said you need 10 people to have a synagogue service. Might be. Or it might be that just because out of reverence for the one that would come, when all was dark and all was lost, and would take your place. When God looked at this world and there wasn't 10 people, and God said, I'll have to do it on my own. And he came into this world, and into this darkness, and he put himself on the cross. Because that's who God is. Faith allows me to see God for who God is. The God who will stand and say, talk to me. Do you want to ask me something? The God who says, can I put compassion in your heart so that your faith comes into action even for those that you don't like or know or call them? Can I stand before you and you pray with me for the lost? But that's what faith does. It sets me free. It sets me free from me. It sets me free to love the way that the Lord loves. Just for a moment. Who's standing in front of you? Amen. Let me pray with you. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you'll come sit at our tents. And then you'll ask us to walk with you. And as we walk, you remind us, Lord, that we have been called to be salt and light. As Abraham was called to be the one that would bless the peoples of this world, you call us to bless the world. Being salt, being light. Showing you that people experience you also in the way in which we care, also in the way in which our hearts break for the brokenness in this world, for the injustices that happen in this world, for the horrors that happen. Break our hearts like you broke Abraham's heart, even for a place like Sodom and Gomorrah. Thank you that you can stand before us often and you have this conversation. Because all that you are doing when you do that is you are teaching us to put our faith in action. Help us to be like Abraham and say, Lord, excuse me, can I ask about 15? Can I ask about 14? Can I ask about 20? And can I ask about 10? Because it's not about me, Lord. It's about you, the gospel of salvation that came. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you even in these difficult times where it's hard and we're locked up and we're struggling and we're not certain that in these uncertain times and in our own little moments that we can still care. Care outside our little bubble. For those that you have put on our path. Thank you for the blessing of this day. Please receive the worship as we bring back to you again. In Jesus' name we pray.